This week's Parsha is Parshas Kisavoy, and we'll focus our Shir on chapter 27, verse number 9. The Pasuk says, Vardaber Moshe spoke, Vakohanim Alavim, and the Kohanim, the Levites, El Kol Israel, to all of Israel, Leimor is saying, Haskes, it's translated normally as be attentive, give ear, Ushma Israel, and hear Israel, Hayoy Mazeh, today, Niyeso La'om, you became a nation, Lashem Elokecha, to Hashem your God. Rashi explains what does Haskes mean. Ketargumoi, as Unculus renders it. Unculus says, Atzis means pay attention, give ear. And according to Unculus, we translate the pasuk Haskes, give ear, Ushma Israel, and listen, O Israel. We are going to ask that according to this interpretation, the word Haskes seems to be redundant, because if it would be written Shema Israel, hear of Israel, automatically I would have understood that you have to give ear, that you have to pay attention and listen. Then we'll try to understand what Haskes means. But before we do that, we are going to continue with the rest of the pasuk, where the pasuk says, Hayoy mazen yeso leom, today you have become a nation, Lashem Elokecha, for Hashem your God. Rashi is bothered by the question, what do you mean that today you have become a nation in front of Hashem? We have become a nation when we got to Mount Sinai. That is when Hashem said that we are going to become one nation. What does it mean that we became a nation today? Rashi says, Bechol yoim yu beinecho, kilu hayom boso imo bevris, that every day should be in your eyes, as you have come into a covenant with Hashem today. Meaning, you should view it as every day you became a nation in front of Hashem. And what is the covenant? The covenant, it was written in Pasuk number 10, V'shomato bekoil Hashem elekecha, that you should listen to the voice of Hashem, V'osiso es mitzvoisov, you should do His commandments, V'schukov and His decrees, Asher anoichi metzav chohayoim, that I command you today. And we will have to interpret the second hayoim, that the commandments that I command you today, as Rashi interprets in chapter 26, verse number 16, where the pasuk there says, Hayoim azeh, today, Hashem elokecha metzavcho, Hashem commands you, laso es zachukim oile, to make these decrees, v'samishpotim, and ordinances, v'shomarto, you should observe, v'osiso oisom, you should do them, b'chol levavcho, with all your heart, v'chol nafshecho, and with all your soul. Rashi there explains, what does it mean, hayoim? What does it mean today? B'chol yoim, every day, yu beinecho chadoshim, they should be to you as new, kilu voy v'yoim nitztaviso aleim, as you'd have been commanded that day. Meaning that we have to view the Torah always as fresh, as a new thing. Whenever you perform a new thing or you receive a new thing, you always have great excitement. And that is the feeling that you have to have when you perform mitzvahs, the commandments of Hashem. That is why the Torah tells you that today Hashem gives you those mitzvahs, because you have to view it as you received it today. And according to this interpretation of Rashi there, here by us in our pasuk, where it says also, Asher anoichi metzavcho hayom, that I command you today, would also mean to say the same thing, that you should view it as I commanded you today. And according to this interpretation, it is very good. And according to this interpretation, it is very... And according to this interpretation, we understand very well why Rashi, in the first today, changed his language, meaning on Pasuk number 9, where it says, Haskes, give ear, Ushma Israel, and listen Israel, Hayoy mazeh niyeso la'om la'Hashem Elokecha, that today you became a nation in front of Hashem. Rashi gives there a different interpretation. Rashi says that every day it should be in your eyes as you came into a covenant with Hashem that day. Meaning, not that the mitzvahs should be as new, but the covenant with Hashem itself should every day be as new. But Rashi here does not explain what covenant are we talking about. What is this covenant that we are making with Hashem now, that it should be as new? The Yalkut Shemoni on this pasuk explains what covenant was done that day. The Yalkut Shimoni says that the Pasuk writes down, Vaydaber Moshe v'Kohanim Halevim, that Moshe and the Kohanim, the Levites, spoke. The Medrash asks, Ma Dvoru Moyusham, what are they speaking? What is the conversation that the Kohanim Belevim are having with the Jewish people? The Medrash says, Lelam doch, to teach you, Shebo Yisrael v'amu leMoshe, that the Jewish people came and told Moshe Rabbeinu, Notalto sa Torah, that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, took the Torah, v'nosato l'Kohanim, and you gave to the Kohanim, because it's written in Parshas Vayelech, Devarim, chapter 31, verse number 9, Vayichtev Moshe sa Torah zois, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this Torah, Vayitno el haKohanim bnei Levi, and he gave them to the Kohanim, the children of Levi. The Jewish people complained, why are you giving to the Kohanim? We want also to have the Torah. Omar le Moshe Rabbeinu told them, that Tzoichem, you want Sheichnu Cholochem Bris, that we should make a covenant, Shekol mi shemevakesh lilmot Torah, lo yehi nimna, that anybody that wants to come to learn Torah should not be refused, meaning that every Jew is allowed to learn Torah, the Torah belongs to every Jew. Omar le Hein, the Jewish people said, yes, we would like to make this covenant that we could come anytime and learn Torah. Amdu v'nishbu, the Jewish people got up and swore, Shein Adam nimna malikres b'Torah, that none of the Jews are going to refrain from learning Torah. Shenemar, because it's written, El Kol Yisroel Leimor, that he spoke to the old Jewish people saying, meaning all the Jewish people agreed that they are going to be part of the learning of Torah. Omalei Moshe, after Moshe Rabbeinu heard this, he said, Hayoy mazen yeisaliam. This day you really became a nation. True that at Mount Sinai we said Nasa v'nishma, and true that we all received the Torah willingly. But afterwards we acted in such a way that it did not show that we really wanted the Torah, because we had a lot of troubles after Mount Sinai. But now that you come to me and you are upset that I gave the Torah to the Kohanim, and you are demanding to have a part in the Torah, and you now willingly made a covenant, and you swore that you will not refrain from learning Torah, now I know that you became a true nation in front of Hashem. And now we are going to answer the question that we mentioned before, that it's written, Haskeis Ushma, give ear and listen, what does it mean by giving ear? The Talmud on Brachos Dafter Zayin, Omed Aleph 16a, brings down that HaKoyres Shma, Torech Sheichav Nazliboy. Somebody who reads Shema has to direct his heart to the meaning of the words, meaning he has to really concentrate on the words that he says. Shenemar, because it's written in Devarim chapter 6, verse number 4, Shema Yisrael, listen, O Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. Ulehalon Yoyim, in our parsha it says, Haskeis, give ear, Ushma Israel, and listen Israel. But Haskeis, give ear, the Gemara says, means that you have to pay attention of what you're hearing, which means that you have to concentrate on what you're hearing. Ma'alahal, and so too by our parsha, when it's written Shema Israel, it's written before Haskeis that we require to hear, meaning pay attention. Afkan, so too when it's written Shema Israel, hear O Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, also means that you have to pay attention. So we see from here that Talmud takes the word Haskeis to mean that you have to pay attention, that you have to concentrate in the words of Shema. So according to this Gemara, we understand now why it's written here the word Haskeis Ushma, they should pay attention and listen, because we require to have the word Haskeis in order to learn for the Shema, that it has to be with Kavana, with intent, that you have to pay attention to the words that you speak. But still, the question is, why did the Torah decide to write the word Haskeis Ushma here? The Torah should have written Haskeis regarding the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right there in that parasha, the Torah could have written down Haskeis, pay attention, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Why specifically here did the Torah decide to teach you this lesson? And what connection is it with what we're saying afterwards, that you should pay attention and keep the mitzvahs? The Torah tells you a lot of places to keep the mitzvahs. Why here did the Torah decide to tell you to pay attention and listen to the mitzvahs and not previously. And also we'll try to give a different interpretation. What does it mean that Ayom Azani Yeso La'om LaShem Elokecha, that today you have become a nation in front of Hashem? And we asked Rashi's question that we have technically become a nation at Mount Sinai. What does it mean that today you have become a nation? And also, what does it mean that you should listen to the mitzvahs and the decrees that Hashem commands you today? What does it mean again by that today? To answer these questions, you are going to go back to Parshas Shoftim and ask a very strong question on how the Gemara interprets the psukim there. In Parshas Shoftim, chapter 20, we have the rule of what the officers have to tell the people when you are going to go to war. The pasuk there says that we make four announcements. We first announce somebody who built a house and did not live in that house. That person should go back to his house and not go to war. Somebody who planted a vineyard and did not enjoy the fruits yet, that person should also go back from the war. Then we asked somebody who engaged a woman and did not yet marry her, he should also go back from the war. And then they made one final question, which is in Pasuk number 8, which says there, V'omru mi'oish ha'yore v'rach ha'levav, somebody who is fearful and faint-hearted, yelech v'yoshu lebeisoy, he should go back to his house, v'loimas eslevav echov kilvavoy, and let him not melt the heart of his fellows like his heart, meaning simply that this is discussing somebody who cannot see blood. The person who cannot see blood should go back to his house and he should not go to war. But the Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Dalet, Omed Aleph and Omed Beis, 44 A and B, interprets in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili that this doesn't mean literally somebody who is afraid and has a soft heart, meaning that he cannot see blood. The Gemara says that he is afraid, Maveiros Shebeyodoy, that he is afraid from the sins that he has with him, which means that he is afraid that his sins are going to cause that the Jewish people will lose the war. The Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, what kind of sins are we talking about? The Gemara says that Soch ben Tfilo le Tfilo, that even if somebody speaks between the Tfilin Shal Yad and the Tfilin Shal Rosh, where normally you are not supposed to make an interruption between the Shal Yad, the Tfilin you put in your hand, and the tefillin you put on your head, avero hi beyadoi, that is considered a sin in his hand, vechoizer olav morech hamilchama, and he goes back from the war. Meaning, according to this, when the Gemara says that somebody is afraid of the sins in his hand, that his sins will cause the Jewish people to lose the war, we are not talking about the major sins, meaning transgression of Shabbos, or stealing, or other sins. We are talking about even the minute sins, as somebody speaking between his tefillin in the hand and tefillin of the head, that is already considered a big enough sin that the war may be lost because of this person. Therefore, we exempt a person that made this minute sin from war, and for sure, if you made a big sin, then for sure you are exempted from war. But the problem is that the Gemara in Zvachim, Dav Zayin, Omed Aleph 7a, says, V'omar Rava, Rava says, Chatas sheshachto al mishen mechuyav klum, if you slaughter a chatas offering, which is a sin offering, for the sake of someone who is not obligated to bring anything, psula, it's an invalid offering. Why? She'ein lach adam Yisrael, she'einoy mechuyav ese, because there is no person in Israel who is not obligated to atone for violating a positive commandment, which means that every Jew at one time or another transgressed or failed to perform a positive commandment. If that is so, then it would end up being that nobody would go to war, because according to this, everybody transgresses at one time or another a positive commandment. Then how can we have people going to war? The simple answer we could say is that when the officers make the announcements, Miho Ish, who is the person, Ayore, who is afraid, Varach Halevov, he is soft at heart, and we mentioned that means that he is afraid of the sins that he has in his hand, that may be a call that the officers give that the people should repent. Automatically, if you remember the sins that you have and you repent, your sins will be forgiven. Then you are able to continue and go to war. It is not meant really that you should go home and not participate in the war. The announcements of somebody who has a sin is in his hands, it is an acknowledgement that the person should have that he has sins. Automatically, if he acknowledges that he has sins, obviously he is going to do tshuva, he is going to repent in his heart. Once he repents in his heart, he'll be able to go to war. And technically, this would be enough just to answer the Gemara in Zvachim, where the Gemara in Zvachim says that every Jew transgressed for sure a mitzvat asay, a positive commandment. Then the repentance will be enough. Meaning that the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Peivav Amud Alef 86a, brings in the name of Rabbi Shmuel that there is different stages of kapora, of atonement. The Gemara there says, Ovar al Esa, if somebody transgresses a positive commandment, the Shav, and he repented, he doesn't leave until they forgive him. Meaning that if you transgressed a positive commandment, your repentance by itself will cause you complete atonement. But what happens over a loisa, if somebody transgressed a negative commandment, the also tshuva and he repented, then tshuva toila, repentance suspends the punishment, the Yom Kippur mechaper, and the day of Yom Kippur laton. Meaning that your repentance by itself will not completely forgive the sin. Your repentance will cause that Hashem will suspend punishment, but the day of Yom Kippur, which is a day of atonement, that day will completely atone for your sin. What happens over a krisos who misses bezdin v'asa tshuva? If you committed sins that are punishable by kares, by being cut off of the Jewish people, or sins that are punishable by capital punishment, and then he repented, what happens to this person? Then the Gemara says, tshuva v'yom kippurim tolim, then repentance and Yom Kippurim suspend the punishment. And then, v'yisurim markim, and suffering purges the sin. Meaning that Hashem is going to give you suffering, and through that suffering you'll be able to purge the sin if you transgress those crimes. Avami shayesh chilul Hashem b'yadoi. But if somebody who desecrates Hashem's name, then eloi koyach b'tshuva litlois, tshuva doesn't have the capacity to suspend punishment, veloi b'yom ha-kippurim l'chaper, and Yom Kippur doesn't have the power to atone, veloi b'yisurim l'marek, and suffering cannot purge the crime, elokulon tolin, all these things, tshuva, Yom Kippur, and yisurim, all these suspend the punishment, umisa memarekes, and only death will purge the sin. Then clearly we see that if you transgress a positive commandment, if you repent by itself, that's enough. Then we could answer that this is the reason why the officers would make the announcements that anybody who has a sin, please leave, because that announcement by itself would make an awareness for the person that he has to repent on his sins. And if he repents, then he's able to join the war. But we still have another question. In chapter 20, verse number 3, we are discussing what the Kohen tells the people. The Pasuk says, V'omar aleihem, the Kohen says to the people, Shema Israel, hear Israel, Atem krevim ayom la'milchama, you are getting near today to the war, Al oyveichem, over your enemies, Al yerach levavchem, do not let your heart be faint, Al tiru, do not be afraid, Val techpezu, do not panic, Val te'artzu mipneim, and you won't be broken before them, meaning that you should not be afraid of them. But regarding the first four words of the Pasuk, where it says, V'omar aleim Shema Yisrael, to the Kohen tells the Jewish people, Shema Yisrael, hear Israel, the Gemara in Soita Daf Membeis Amud Alef 42a says, Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Omar lema Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, that Hashem tells the Jewish people, Afilu lo kiyamtem elu kriya Shema Shachris Varvis, that even if you have not fulfilled any mitzvah, but the recitation of the Shema, which begins with Shema Yisrael, morning and night. You will not be delivered into their hands, meaning that you will be victorious over your enemies. According to this interpretation of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, if a person is a sinner and he has other sins, but he says Kriya Shema morning and night, that Kriya Shema helps that he will be victorious at war. That directly contradicts what we just said from Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Because Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that if you have a minute sin, even the sin of speaking between the Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, you are not allowed to go to war because your sin may cause that the Jewish people will lose the war. And here we see that if you have a lot of sins, but you say the Kriya Shema, you read the Shema morning and night, that is enough for you to be victorious in the war. Then technically, it seems like we have a contradiction in the Gemara between Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We could answer this question based on the Bnei Yisachar in Tishrei, where the Bnei Yisachar asks a question on the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis 49b, where the Gemara there says, Hamekadesh Isha, somebody betroths a woman, Amnash Shanit Tzadik, on the condition that he is a righteous person, Afilo Nimtza Rasha Gomer, even though he is found to be a completely evil man, Mekudeshes, she is betrothed. Why? Shemo Hirer Tshuva Bedatoi. Because maybe he thought about doing tshuva in his mind. Meaning again, if somebody engages a woman and makes a condition that I'm engaging you in the condition that I'm a righteous person, and in truth this person is completely evil, Rasha Gamur, still she has to suspect maybe she is engaged, because maybe at that moment this evil person thought thoughts of repentance, therefore he is no longer evil and he is a righteous person. The Bnei Yisachar asks a question from the Gemara in Yumet Daf Peivav that we mentioned, because the Gemara there says that in most cases repentance would not be enough to wipe out the crime. As the Gemara says that only if I transgressed a positive commandment, that is the only time that repentance alone would be enough that the crime is expunged or removed. But in other cases, for example, a transgression of a negative commandment, then the atonement is only complete after Yom Kippur. And if you transgress a crime that's punishable by death or by kares, by cutting off your soul from the Jewish people, then even Yom Kippur, it's not enough to atone for your crime. You're required to have suffering in order to atone for that crime. And if you did the sin of Chilul Hashem, of desecrating Hashem's name, then even pains won't be enough to atone. Nonetheless, we see from the Gemara that only in the case of transgression of a positive commandment, that is the only case where repentance alone will atone for your crime. If that is so, the Bnei Yisachar asks, why when this person is making the condition that I'm betraying you, in the condition that I'm a righteous person, and we say that even though he is a Rasha Gomor, a completely evil person, nonetheless she has to suspect that she is betrothed, and the Gemara explains why, because I'm afraid maybe he thought thoughts of repentance in his heart, the Bnei Yisachar asks, how good is it that he thought thoughts of repentance in his heart? It wouldn't help anyways. Because since the Gemara calls this person a Rasha Gamor, a completely evil person, obviously he transgressed more than just positive commandments. And if he transgressed more than just positive commandments, even if he repented in his heart, that repentance would not be good enough to expunge the crime. That means that he still has the crime. If he still has the crime, he cannot be considered a tzaddik, a righteous person. True, maybe he is not as Rasha Gomor, as completely evil person as he was before, because he started the process of atonement for this crime, because he started the process by repenting, but nonetheless, you can never consider him a tzaddik, a righteous person. Then the Bnei Yisachar asks, why do you have to suspect maybe this person did tshuva in his heart? tshuva in his heart alone would not help to expunge the crimes, then he's never a tzaddik. Then we should not even suspect that the betrothal is a good betrothal. The Bnei Saschar answers based on the Zohar in Bamidbar, Daf Kof Chof Alev Amad Alev. There the Zohar says that Raza de Mila, the secret of the word is, the is choyven de loy mischaprin, that there is sins that are not forgiven, adis pater barnash me'alma, until the person dies from this world. Meaning that Hashem will not forgive the sins only through death. Vahai yoev gam mevada lemisa, that this person who gives himself for sure to death, umoser nafsho la'ayatar, and is willing to risk his life for that place, lave pikdona kamal belaila, not like he's giving over the neshama to Hashem like he does at night. Elo command is pater min alma vadai, but like somebody who is completely going out of this world, meaning that somebody is willing to give self-sacrifice, die on Kiddush Hashem for the sanctification of Hashem's name, and this willingness to self-sacrifice has to be in the intention of the heart, and like that Hashem has mercy on this person, and Hashem forgives his sin. Meaning that if you have a sin that you deserve to die for the sin, and technically only death will atone for the sin, then the Zohar says that you have a choice, that you should have thoughts of self-sacrifice for Kiddush Hashem, for sanctification of Hashem's name, meaning that you should think that if somebody is about to kill you and tells you to worship an idol, that you are willing to die in the name of Hashem, and you really have to have intention totally that you are sincerely willing to die, then Hashem views it as you actually died al Kiddush Hashem for the sanctification of Hashem's name, and Hashem will forgive you the sin because Hashem will view it as you actually died. Again, since the sin will be only atoned through death, the only choice is for you to think of thoughts of sanctifying Hashem's name, that you are willing to die for the sake of Hashem. In that case, Hashem views it as you have died, and Hashem forgives your sin. According to this, the Bnei Saschar answers that this could be the meaning in the Gemara in Kedushin. And the Gemara in Kedushin says that when somebody betroths somebody and says that I'm betrothing you on the condition that I am a righteous person, and even though we found that he is a completely evil person, nonetheless, we have to suspect maybe the betrothal was a good betrothal, because shemu hirer b'tshuva b'liboy, because could be that he thought of repentance in his heart. And the Bnei Saschar says that the Gemara doesn't mean only repentance, but the Gemara means that he repented so completely that he is willing to sacrifice himself al Kiddush Hashem for the sanctification of Hashem's name. And once he's willing to sacrifice himself for the sanctification of Hashem's name, then any sin, even if it's such a great sin that it's only atoned through death, nonetheless it'll be forgiven because he's willing to die for the sanctification of Hashem's name, and Hashem views it as he would have died, then it's possible that his sins should be completely expunged just by thoughts in his heart, thoughts that he's dying, al Kiddush Hashem for the sanctification of Hashem's name. And we also know that one place we are required to think about the sanctification of Hashem's name is when we read the Shema. In the Shema it's written, V'ahavtos Hashem lekecho, you should love Hashem your God, b'chol levavcho, with all your heart, u'v'chol nafshecho, and if all your soul. The Gemara in Brachas, Daf Nun Dalet, Amud Alef 54a, says, u'v'chol nafshecho, if all your soul, afilu noiteles nafshecho, even if the person is about to take your soul, nonetheless, you have to love Hashem. You have to be willing to die for the sanctification of Hashem's name and not commit idolatry, for example. Then we see that whenever we read the Shema, we are required to have in mind that we are willing to die for the sanctification of Hashem's name. And according to this, now we could reinterpret what the Gemara in Sota Daf Membeis Amud Aleph 42a says regarding the third pasuk in chapter 20, of the Devarim, where the pasuk says "V'omar aleihem," that the Kohen will say to the Jewish people, "Shema Israel, here Israel. And we mentioned that Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai that Hashem told the Jewish people that even if they only have the merit of saying Shema morning and night, Hashem will make them successful at war and not give them in the hands of the enemies. We could say that it really means to say that even though you have a lot of sins, and even big sins that are only atoned through death, but if you say Shema Israel, the Shema Israel, and in the Shema Israel it's written that you should love Hashem b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, with all your heart and all your soul. And we mentioned that when you love Hashem with all your soul, that means that even if they want to kill you in order to worship idols, but nonetheless you are willing to sacrifice yourself for the sanctification of Hashem's name, then Hashem will forgive your sins, even if you have bigger sins. That merit of you saying with intent, Shema Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and then saying that you love Hashem with all your soul, that merit will cause for Hashem to forgive your sins, and that merit will cause you to be victorious at war. Then according to this interpretation, you're reconciling Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, meaning that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai will also admit that if you have sins, that you should not go to war. But Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is saying that once the Kohen tells you Shema Israel, the Kohen is telling you that you should think about the Shema, and in the Shema you have the Bechol Nafshecha, that you should love Hashem with all your soul, and even if you have sins that are punishable by death, since you are willing to die for the sanctification of Hashem's name, then Hashem views it as you had died, then Hashem will forgive your sins, even the harshest sins, then you won't have sins when you go to war, therefore Hashem will make you victorious, which is the same idea of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that if you have any sins that you're not allowed to go to war because your sins may cause for you to lose the war, but if you say the Shema with intention, then you are willing to sacrifice yourself for the sanctification of Hashem's name, automatically Hashem forgives you even for the harsher sins. This idea that I just said is brought in safe. Based on this idea, the Magid Taluma answers the question, why did Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, when he started writing the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the Oral Law, decided to start with the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? Because the first words of the Talmud says, Amosai, from when Kohen as Shema Ba'arvis, you read the Shema in the evenings. And he explains that since the Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 50, verse number 15, says, Ulerasha Omar Elikim, and to the evil person Hashem said, Malecho Lesaper Chuki, why are you reading my decrees? Meaning that when you're evil person, Hashem doesn't want you to learn Torah. Hashem views the Torah learning as hypocritical, since you're not willing to do what's written in the Torah. And since it is possible that this person that is learning now the oral law will be a sinner and he'll have sins, therefore Rabbeinu HaKodesh wanted to start with the mitzvah of Shema, with the mitzvah of reading the Shema, which in the Shema it's written the verse Bechol Nafshecha, with all your soul. Like that, this person will have thoughts of repentance and he'll have thoughts of sacrificing himself for the sanctification of Hashem's name. Once you have those thoughts, Hashem views it as you actually died on the sanctification of Hashem's name, and Hashem will forgive your sins. Once Hashem forgives your sins, then it is proper for you to learn Torah, because you're not a sinner and you're not an evil person anymore. But the point I want to make is that from this idea we see the importance of the Shema Israel, of the Shema that we say, that in the Shema is written Bechol Nafshecha, that even if it takes your soul, and that causes a complete atonement for your sin. Changing the subject entirely, we are going to go now to Parshas Ki Tsetse, chapter 25, verse number 18, where there the Torah is describing how Amalek was able to hurt the Jewish people. The Pasuk there says, Asher karcha baderech, that he happened to you on the road, Vayzanev becha kol ha'necholim acharecha, and he struck those who were hindmost, all the weaklings at your rear. And Rashi explains, what does it mean, Hanech Sholim Acharecho, weakling at your rear? Rashi says, Chasere Koach, that those were people that didn't have strength. Why? Machmas Chatom, because of their sins. Shehoya Onon Polton, that the Ananiah covered the clouds of glory, which rested over the Jewish people to protect them from the elements, they used to kick out those who sinned. And since those people were kicked out from the clouds of glory, then Amalek was able to see them and was able to fight them and was able to hurt them. As a matter of fact, the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says that the whole tribe of Dan was kicked out of the Ananiah covert, of the clouds of glory, and according to the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, the people who got hurt were from the tribe of Dan. And another proof they bring from the end of Parshas Balak, after the Jewish people sinned on Baal Peor, on the idolatry of Baal Peor, it's written on chapter 25, verse number 4, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Kach es kol rosh ha'am, take all the leaders of the people, Vehoika oisom l'Hashem, and hang them before Hashem, neged Hashemesh, against the sun, Vayoshev charan af Hashem Yisrael, and the anger of Hashem is going to leave the Jewish people. There it's written that you should hang him neged Hashemesh, against the sun. So Mefarshim explained that since the people that did Baal Peor were expelled from the Ananiah covered from the clouds of glory, automatically they didn't have the layer of protection that separated them from the elements, from the sun. Those people were neged Hashemesh, they were against the sun. Those people needed to be hanged because they sinned. So the way to find out who actually sinned was by seeing if the sun is shining on them directly, without the blockage of the Ananiah covers of the clouds of glory. If the sun was shining them directly, that is proof that they sinned, and those people had the right to be hung, and that's why it's written that you should hang them naked Hashemesh against the sun. So we see clearly that if you sin, the Ananiah covers, the clouds of glory, would leave you. Another important thing to know is that regarding the pasuk that's written in Parshas Emor, chapter 23, verse number 43, regarding a sukkah, the pasuk there says, "L'man yedu doraisechem, so your generations may know, ki basukois hoishavti es bnei Yisrael, that in sukkos I made the Jewish people dwell, boitzi oisam meretz Mitzrayim, when I took him out of Egypt, ani Hashem Elokeichem, am Hashem your God." Rashi writes down there, from the Gemara in Sukkah, David Aleph, Ahmed Beis, 11b, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, that the Sukkah that Hashem made us dwell is Ananeh HaKovet, means the cloud of glory. Meaning that we celebrate Sukkahs because of the clouds of glory, and the word Sukkah there means covering of the clouds of glory. According to this interpretation, I want to interpret the verse Haskeis Ushma Yisrael, be attentive and hear Israel, in a totally different interpretation. And I want to say that Haskeis comes from the language of Sukkah, meaning of covering up, and Haskeis means that you are able to cover up, you are able to get yourself under the Ananiah covered, meaning that if you are a sinner and you don't have the clouds of glory on you, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling you that Haskeis, please cover up. But how do you cover up? How do you become eligible to be under the Ananiah covered, under the clouds of glory, if you are a sinner? Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ushma Israel, and listen Israel. Meaning, by you reciting the Shema Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, listen Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. And in the Shema it's written later on, Vohavto as Hashem Elokecho, that you should love Hashem your God, b'chol levavcho, if all your heart, u'v'chol nashecho, and all your soul. And as we mentioned, that we have to have in mind when we say, and all your soul, that even if somebody is about to kill you in order to commit idolatry, you are required to give up your soul, meaning you are required to die for the sanctification of Hashem's name. And once you are willing to die for the sanctification of Hashem's name, even if you are a great sinner, even if you sinned so much that only death will atone for your sins, nonetheless, Hashem tells you, based on the Zohar, that He will forgive you because Hashem views your self-sacrifice as it is actually done, then it's possible for you to come back to be under the clouds of glory even though you were a sinner. And that is what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling you, that you should do tshuva, concentrate on the Shema, and by you concentrating on the Shema, you will merit to have haskes, you'll be able to get the covering of the clouds of glory. And according to this idea that I want to say, that Moshe Rabbeinu is prompting the Jewish people to repent by saying haskes or Shema Yisrael, then we understand also what does it mean that today you become a nation in front of Hashem. Because as the Mefarshim explained, when you do tshuva, when you repent, you are basically telling Hashem that you are not the same person who committed the sin. You are a changed person. That means that you are now a new person. And since you are a new person, Hashem is telling you that because you repented, today you became a nation. And also, since you are a new person, Hashem is telling you that please keep all the mitzvahs, all the commandments, and all the chukim, and all the decrees that Hashem commanded you today. Because if you say the Shema, and you concentrate that you are willing to die in Kiddush Hashem, and you repent, then Hashem will forgive your sins, then you'll merit to have the covering of Hashem, meaning to be under the sukkah, under the ananeh covered, under the clouds of glory. Once you become meritorious to be under the clouds of glory, and you did true repentance, then you become a new person. Now you become a nation in front of Hashem. And if you become a new person and a nation in front of Hashem, Hashem wants you to perform the mitzvahs that He commanded you today. Even though yesterday you didn't perform the mitzvahs, but you should start performing it today because you are a new person today through your repentance. And according to this, you could understand now also why the Gemara, when the Gemara wants to find out that the Shema needs to be read with kavana, with proper intent, brings the pasuk here, haskeis u'shma Yisrael, that you should cover up and listen to Israel. Because the only way that we could repent totally is, as we mentioned, if we have kavana during the Shema. When we say, b'chol nafshecho, for your soul, if kavana, that is the only way that we are able to atone. That's the only way that Hashem views it as you would have killed yourself. But if you don't have kavanah, if you don't have intent, then Hashem will not view it as you have killed yourself. And Hashem will not forgive your sins. Therefore, when the Gemara wants to bring proof that the Shema needs to be read with kavanah, with intent, the Gemara brings this pasuk, because this pasuk clearly shows that you require to have intent when you say the Shema. And Hashem Yisbor should help that since we are in the month of Elul, we should all repent, and if you repent, we'll merit to have Mashiach come, Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, Bimheira Bayomeinu, Amen.